This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. You can also get rewards points delivered too. So that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants, 18 plus, rewards registration required. Points only on menu items. Delivery fee and terms apply. See McDonald's.com.
Take care of your property with equipment you can count on. Like the Kubota BX and LO1 series compact tractors. Part of our under 100 horsepower tractor lineup. Rated number one for reliability. And Z-Series mowers and Sidekick utility vehicles. Where durability meets speed. Visit your local Kubota dealer for a demo today. Go to KubotaUSA.com for full disclaimer.
Visit GoKubota.com for a dealer near you.
And welcome again to Cottage Talk Full Time. I'm Russ Goldman. Joining me right now is Emilio Danilo, who is outside of Craven Cottage. He just watched Fulham's 3-0 victory against West Bromwich Albion, which extends the lead against WBA, which is good, West Brom. So this is actually a good thing, Emilio. It is the return of the Fulham shadow. I always like saying that. So, yeah. Emilio, just give me your opening thoughts on what you watched.
Yeah, so got my breath back after that. All the celebrations after the Mitrovic hat trick, and obviously after the game with all the celebrations. I'll send you some videos after, but it's, you know, top performance. We had some nervy moments, but overall, this is the third best team in the division. Then there's a problem. This is promotion's there for us to lose. You know, on that performance. You know, I thought we were dominant, strong, pressing throughout the game against a team who were physically very strong.
Right,
they've won ugly this season many times, and you know, something that we're not very good at doing. And to be honest, we put them back in their place. You know, other than the opening 2 or 3 minutes, we were, I thought, a little bit slow off the mark, but we grew into the game and dominated that first half. Second half, clearly 2-0 down, they're going to have a moment and a period of domination, which they did, and it wasn't pretty from us. But overall, they gave us a few problems, to be honest, and we shouldn't be worried. You know, that we're now comfortable in second place. You know, got players returning back from injury. We've got probably Mitrovic is on fire at the moment.
Yeah.
You know, it's just his presence in front of goal, his instincts, his sharpness, his fitness levels is incredible. I've lost adjectives, you know, to describe his performances at the moment. And overall, good performance. You know, disappointed with Tosin sending off there. I'd like to see that again, but that took...
Yeah, we'll talk about that.
That took the gloss off the victory. Someone took that, you know, that gloss off. But overall, 3-0, another clean sheet. What more do we want as Fulham fans? Yeah.
Well, you know what, Emilio, we'll talk about, again, this is just a full-time show, everything that happened quickly, and we'll go for about 20 minutes, but let's just start from the beginning. What were your thoughts about the starting 11?
Good. I think good decisions. I thought, obviously, their physique probably was maybe too risky to play Tom, to be honest. So I think bringing Harrison Reed in there, who's, you know, was prudent from the manager, and again, don't risk Tom if there's any doubt there, and playing against... You know, a physical team, we're not particularly pretty. I think was a good move from Marcus Silva,
right?
And playing Dennis as well, right back as well, with his presence in the air as well. You know,
Dennis did well today.
Yeah, he was close top three for me. Very good, another very good game from him. And you know, I love Dennis Adoyin. I think most Fulham fans do, but you know, Marco Silva's decision to play him was the right one, to be honest, because we needed his physical presence, his aerial presence as well, you know, against a very, you know, big, strong team like West Bromwich Albion. So overall, comfortable with that starting 11.
Okay, excellent, Emilio. Okay, let's just get right to it. Let's talk about the first half. We'll break down the goals in just a second and the key moments, because, again, we'll talk about the penalty situation. I'll share my thoughts on what I saw. But before that, just give me your analysis of the first half overall.
After that sort of slow start, first few minutes, you know, where West Brom were looking, you know, were playing long balls, they were already starting to set their dominance on the game. But we quickly took control of the game. You know, we were passing the ball nicely, good swift passing. Cabano calling him out extremely lively. I thought Cabano had a very good game again. Again, front of goal, maybe let's question his ability in scoring in front of goal. But overall, you know, he looked very lively. That first half, he was all over the place, you know, winning corners, winning free kicks, looking dangerous. I thought our movement in particular was very, very good. And I think we, you know, going into half-time, 2-0 up, I think was deserved. I know there's a bit of controversy on the penalty, and we'll talk about that in a moment. But overall, you know, we were good value for our half-time lead. West Brom had little response. There was a moment when they maybe should have done better. When it's 1-0, they had a free header. When it, you know, Rodak wasn't, you know, made a comfortable save. Overall, they didn't really pose many problems, to be honest. And this is, like I said, the third best team in the division. That's not saying a lot on that performance today.
Right, Emilio, and I'll just share my thoughts. Listen, Fulham bossed the first half. Yeah. We'll talk about the penalty situation in just a second. But overall, if I look at it, I thought Fulham were worthy of the 2-0 advantage at the half. Were they fortunate? I believe so. And I'll just share with you my view on what I watched. Now, I get replays. And it looked like to me that Bartley got the ball. Mitro goes down. I don't think this is a dive at all, but I think Fulham were fortunate, Emilio. I'll let everyone judge after they've had a look at this. And I'm not trying to take the gloss off of a Fulham victory. I'm just trying to be honest here. I think that Fulham actually got I wouldn't call it a gift, but they got a good call go their way. And we're fortunate, Emilio. I don't know what you saw at the ground.
Yeah, for me, it was the other side of the pitch. Stevie Lillard messaged me straight after the incident and said it was no way a penalty. And obviously Steve, you know, I agree, you know, I take his word for it. He sent me a video, Reba, which I saw at half-time, and clearly I agree it wasn't a penalty. But, you know, I always, you know me over the years, some you win, some you lose. These decisions even themselves out over the course of the season. Coventry goal, that shouldn't have been a penalty. You know, these things even themselves out. You know, one goes against us, one goes for us. So I'll take it nonetheless. But let's reflect on the fact, how did we get that penalty? Dennis pressed.
Exactly.
It all started from Dennis Odoi. Persisted, pressed, won the ball. And then, you know, we created the opportunity. It gave the sometimes it gives the referee a decision to make. If you're not pressing, you're not creating opportunities, you're not being direct and quick on the ball, then you're not going to have a chance of scoring goal. And I think Dennis is, you know, his attacking presence there. I think Dennis had a very good game, and I want to call him out because it was him, you could argue, semi-assisted that penalty, because without that, you know, intervention there and that pressing, we wouldn't have had a chance to get a controversial penalty.
Okay, excellent. And let's talk about Mitro's taking of the penalty. And what's interesting about this, I've been watching him a great deal. He's been going to the left. I had a feeling he would go right this time. Yeah. He did. Johnston guessed right, but Mitro's goal was well taken. Thoughts on the goal?
Yeah, exactly. Again, the goalkeeper did guess the right way. And, you know, I thought it was almost on the verge of not scoring. I thought the keeper was going to make a save there. But it was a lot, obviously, because of the controversy. Sometimes the striker loses a bit of, I would say, not confidence, but sometimes you want to take the penalty quickly. You've got the ball on the spot, you're ready to take the penalty, and you're waiting for all the sort of the back chat, you know, talk with the refereeing, you're challenging the decision. You know, when you've got the penalty and it's a straightforward penalty and you take it immediately, then you're more likely to score. I think sometimes that sort of 1 minute pause between the decision and taking the penalty might have distracted Mitrovic. But again, this player's on form at the moment. His confidence is sky high, and he wasn't going to miss today.
Okay, excellent, Emilio. All right, let's then talk about the second goal. And again, if we're Fulham fans, we've seen the other side of this, a team not really responding well and another team taking advantage of it. Listen, you take anything that's given to you. If someone gives you a goal, you take the goal. And Nitro's credit. He was right on top of it. He took advantage of the situation and scored a second. I don't have any, you know, feeling bad about the fact that we got another goal here because, you know, again, if they're going to present it to you, my friend, you take it.
You take it. Exactly.
Thoughts on the situation that led up to Mitro's second goal and his second goal?
Same thing again. Again, wrong side of the pitch for me, but I think it was Seri as well who pressed to force to force the defender to pay the back pass, to be honest. Then it was all that pressing and pressing and pressing. If you're putting your opposition under pressure, you're forcing them to make mistakes. And that's what, you know, today at times we didn't play at our best. We played better this season and maybe not won as comfortably, but it's the pressing. It's making those mistakes. You're putting your opposition under pressure and they put their back pass. But again, Mitrovic in the right place. He still has to score. Let's be honest, still has to score. It's not like he's got an open goal there. He still has to get there first and he has to find the back of the net. So again, player on confidence, 100% fit. He's back to the Mitrovic from two seasons ago. And this guy, carrying on like this, we're going to storm this division.
Seriously. He is on fire, my friend. He is so dangerous. Watching him, and I'm glad that you mentioned this. We've all been talking about his fitness. He looks like he's really increased his fitness. He looks slighter. Yeah. He looks like he's lost weight. He looks very fit.
He has.
And honestly, it's all coming together this season. He's just proven the fact that last season was – I hate to say it, really not about him. I'll just say that.
Yeah.
That's just my opinion.
Yeah.
It was about him really not fitting into a certain system, which is fine. He fits into the system. That's the bottom line. It's all worked. And he leads Fulham at the half to a 2-0 lead. And we go in the second half, Emilio. And, you know, it's funny because you can look at this two ways. And you mentioned this, and then we'll talk about some of the controversial situations coming up. But let's talk about the approach from West Brom. Obviously, at halftime, the manager got to them because they came out strong. You should have expected it.
Yeah.
I expected it. And there are two ways to look at it. Fulham, you know, again, we're not dominant early on in the second half. But you know what? They defended well. There were some good opportunities from West Brom. They missed their opportunities, did not score. Okay. But Fulham stayed true to themselves. And always look dangerous on the break. That was the one thing that stood out to me, Emilio. If I'm looking at the second half, before we talk about the two red cards and the goal, Fulham overall in the second half, if I analyze it, they saw the match out and they were just waiting for the opportunities. Give credit to West Brom for playing a better second half. But overall, they were just not good enough. And Fulham, again, took advantage of their opportunities on the break, which caused the red card for them, and then, of course, Fulham get the third goal. But let's just give me your overall thoughts on the second half, and then we'll talk about the controversial situations.
Yeah, so at the beginning, it felt like a bit like the QPR game, you know, when, you know, we were 1-0 at halftime. Second half, the QPR came out stronger, and so did West Brom, obviously, clearly 2-0 down. You know, they've got to sort of start show their presence. And, you know, they did what we expected them to do. But, you know, our passing was a little bit harried. You know, again, it was similar with QPR when we conceded that goal. And just sometimes we just need to be a little bit more composed. And, you know, some of us were calling out, maybe we just needed to make a substitution, just change it a little bit. Maybe bring Josh Onnemar in there, maybe take Seri or Reed off, just to add some bit of strength in that midfield. Because I thought we were getting bullied off the ball quite easily. West Brom, let's be honest, are not a pretty team. You know, I'm not seeing much of them this season. I've seen, you know, highlights here and there, but they're not pretty to watch, to be honest. They're pretty ugly, and you know, I don't want them anywhere near the Premier League. I don't want another Burnley in the Premier League, to be honest. I don't want to play like that. So, but overall, I think we struggled for that first 15-20 minutes.
Okay.
We didn't really sort of, I'd say, impose ourselves. You know, we didn't get much of the ball. We were giving the ball away quite cheaply. We just needed to be a little bit more settled and composed. And thankfully, we rode the storm. And then, you know, obviously, we went on and scored a third goal and closed the game out. But yeah, it's just, that first 20 minutes just goes to show if the game was 0-0 and we had a team like West Brom pressing us and allowing us to give the ball away cheaply, then, you know, we've got to watch that. We've got to make sure, you know, we've got called out a few times this season when teams press us.
Right.
And we give the ball away cheaply and we're just hoofing at the times. And then we weren't pretty, but they give credit to West Brom. They made it difficult for us in that first.
They did. They absolutely did. Yeah. And to be honest with you, I've been going back and forth with my friend Andy, and I think it's split on their style play amongst the supporters because it's not pleasing on the eyes at times.
No.
But they have some quality players, let's just say that. And they did make things difficult for Fulham in the second half. But, you know, and again, Fulham really caused what happened here with the Furlong getting the straight red, Emilio. This was totally a straight red. This is, again, I don't think you can question this. This is a straight red, and Fulham are up by a man. Do you feel at this point that game, set, match?
Yeah, absolutely.
And the straight red.
Yeah, and it was literally in front of me. I think there's still a few people around me who were still uncertain whether it was or wasn't a straight red. As far as my instinct was, instant reaction was, it was a straight red card for me. You know, it was right in front of me. There was contact there, and you know, give Kerry Wilson credit. He actually controlled the ball well.
Exactly.
You know, again, he could have miscontrolled that, and maybe it would have been a different outcome. But ultimately, he controlled the ball well. Defender Furlong forced to make the mistake, and you know, he got a straight red card. I think for me, I haven't seen a replay, but my instant reaction was red card for me.
Okay, and I'm just going to share this from Chris Goodwin. No doubt, clear red card. Wilson would have been on goal. And I think that is the consensus on that. And I totally agree with that. It was a red card. Okay, my friend. Let's now talk about the third goal. And again, this is great stuff because it looked like it was going to break down. We're talking about the third goal. I didn't think this was going to come off, but credit to Harry Wilson, credit to the Fulham players, and credit to Mitro because he puts in the back of the net the third. He just shows over and over again why he's his top striker, Mitro. But Emilio, it's not just about him. Like I said, it's also about Harry Wilson.
Yeah.
So let's talk about the goal that put the match away.
Yeah, just, you know, the fact that Wilson chased that ball down, you know, maybe, you know, 2-0 up, comfortable, he chased that ball. I need to look at it again. Was it slightly over the line? I don't think the ball was fully over. I think the ball was partially over the line, but I think Steve Lidyard, correct me if you're listening, does the ball have to be fully over the line rather than partially over the line? But either way, to me, it looks slightly over the line, but he cut it back perfectly. And guess who's there? You know, Mitrovic, you give him a sniff of a chance anywhere in that penalty, especially in that 6-yard box, is in the back of the net. It's just, again, it's what I said earlier, his instinct, his awareness, his confidence, his sharpness, everything, all these adjectives, you know, no one's going to stop him. If he carries on like that, we keep presenting opportunities like that to him. More often than not, they're in the back of the net. And to be honest, it's, you know, there was a criticism from me is that there was a bit of selfishness in that game. You know, Cabano, who, you know, had a great game, went for goal early in the second half, missed. If he squared it to Mitrovic would have had his hat-trick a lot earlier. Wilson was a bit selfish early with another chance. So again, we're creating a lot of opportunities, but, you know, maybe that comes with confidence and arrogance.
Yep.
You're 2-0 up, 3-0 up. You can afford to have a bit of arrogance and take long punts. But sometimes I think we're still not, maybe our conversion ratio still needs to be a little bit higher because we're creating a hell of a lot of chances. But sometimes our finishing from players outside of Mitrovic isn't as high as it should be. So that's just something to be aware of. Mitrovic gets an injury or is suspended or whatever reason, then, you know, maybe, you know, we've got to be aware of where the goals are going to come from as frequently as they are at the moment.
I totally agree with that. Okay, I'm just going to share a couple more comments. Chris Davidson says 100% red card. Let's see. Our friend Steve Turner, he was last man, and it was a goal-scoring chance. Had to be a red by the letter of the law. Again, I'm not going to dispute that at all. But let's talk about the other situation that is going to affect Fulham. And honestly, I watched this back. I think this is a red card. Steve Lidyard can be a better judge of this. I think this is a straight red as well, Emilio. So you probably didn't get a good look at this, but let's just talk about your thoughts on this because this hurts Fulham.
Yeah.
Tosin's playing well. What's interesting, I was thinking about this after it happened. I'm like, in years past, I thought this could be really hurtful, but Fulham actually have players that can come in
and
with an opportunity to take his place for three matches, but it's too bad, like you said. It took a little bit of the gloss off the victory. Tosin's red.
It did, and it's a point when before Mitrovic scored his third goal, you know, I was actually disputing whether Tosin deserves to be man of the match. I was actually saying, well, he's actually the man of the match. Mitrovic looking sharp, scored a penalty, scored a good second goal. You know, striker's instinct there, but Tosin had a fantastic game. You know, and then he had the header on goal, which keeper made a good save. Then Mitrovic scores a third goal and said, okay, you can't not give your hat-trick player the man of the match. And then Tosin does that. That for me was immaturity. Sorry, I'm pissed off about that, to be honest. It's, you're 3-0 up, no need to challenge there. And it reminds me of the sending off of Anthony Robinson against Chelsea last season. He didn't need to make that challenge last year. And Robinson got sent off at home against Chelsea, if you remember. Similar situation. Not in a dangerous position. Tosin, you're 3-0 up, for goodness sake. Why have you made that challenge? So that pisses me off, to be honest. It has taken the gloss off the game, and I'm disappointed in that. You know, these young players, He's had a great game. He's had the last two or three good games, grown back into the season. I thought the early part of the season, he was sort of a bit mixed, some good, some sort of average performances, but he's grown in the last few games. We've got some clean sheets, another clean sheet today, and he's let himself down there. I think that was unnecessary. You can't make those mistakes, these young players. You have to learn from that, and maybe he will learn from this. That's like Robinson did last season against Chelsea. No need to have made that foul, if you recall. So I'm disappointed with that at this point, because he was on for the verge of being man of the match for me. If it wasn't for Mitrovic's hat-trick, I thought he had a very good game, very strong in defence, and controlled the back line very, very well. So, it was frustrating. It was a bad decision from Tosin. He had no reason to make that foul. You know, just you're 3-0 up. Now you're going to be banned for the next three games. But you mentioned a point earlier, Russ, and we've got our players are all back from injury, and that's another positive from today. Carvalho coming back on. Tom Kenny's figured in the last two or three games. You know, Kenny Tete's on the bench. So, to be honest, you know, either you put Dennis Odoi in central defence and put Tete wide, or you put Bobby Reid wide and put Dennis Odoi in central defence, you bring Hector back. There's options, right? There's, you know, let the manager make that decision against Blackburn next week. But unnecessary. You know, it breaks up a very good four-match winning streak, clean sheets galore, and then Tosin makes a very childish error there, to be honest. And I am calling him out for that, because you don't need to do that.
Okay. I also want to share this, because I agree with Chris on this. I got a good view on this.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't understand why Snodgrass didn't get a red. He just clocked Anthony Robinson across the head.
Yeah.
So, again, we can talk about Tosin, but how about Snodgrass not getting a red?
Yeah, he's always been unlucky. Firstly, you know, he's never been pretty to watch, but it's the refereeing today was abysmal. You know, again, I think overall, just some of the decisions that he let go, it's just not good enough. You know, won't be surprised we see VAR in the Championship in the next couple of seasons, to be honest. It's just, the referee had a very good game. He didn't really have control of the game.
Yep. Actually started from a comment from Reese Williams. Don't know how Snodgrass stayed on the pitch. Swinging elbow to Anthony's face right in front of the referee.
Yeah.
It was right there.
Absolutely. Point blank. I agree with what was the referee watching there, to be honest?
I don't know. All right, my friend. Great stuff. To finish up, coming up next, we're going to talk about man of the match. Okay, Emilio, to finish up, let's go to man of the match. You already talked about Tosin, but it's hard not to give it to Mitro.
Yeah.
After you get another hat trick, is it Mitro? If you're watching live, do you agree that it just has to be Mitro? Feel free to share your thoughts on man of the match. I believe Giannis already chimed in with Mitro.
Yeah, I think we have to give it no choice. Just especially the two instincts, you know, those the predatory Mitrovic in that penalty area. He's dangerous, this man. And I'll send you, like I said, the video when he was sort of celebrating with the match ball after the game. I'll send that to you afterwards. But overall, I think you've got to give it to him. But the other call outs, like I've mentioned, is Tosin up to the sending off. Very good game, very strong game, very good defensively. Dennis Odoi, a couple of nervous moments here and there. But overall, Dennis looks strong, fit. Contributed to the penalty, so you know Dennis is, you know, love him to bits, as you know.
Yep.
And Cabano again, another good game, especially in the first half, very, very lively, very dangerous. We've got a lot of free kicks and a lot of corners, so there were the three best players for me on the pitch today.
Okay, excellent. I'm going to share all the comments, and they're pretty much going to be Mitro. Chris Goodwin, Mitro the man is on goal scoring fire. Steve Turner, Mitro. Chris Davidson, Mitro.
Yeah.
Dominic Versace, Cabano. Okay, let's see. Very funny, Steve, with your Jalai. Yeah, very, very funny.
Should we give it to the referee, Steve, for giving us a penalty, maybe? You know, maybe that was a turning point. Who knows? And again, we were dominant. Yeah. I think we would have won without that controversial penalty in the first half. I don't think that made much difference.
Okay. Yeah. Chris Davidson comes back and says this, and I'm not going to disagree with him. If Cabano could finish, he could have gotten man of the match. I agree with that.
Yeah, that's fair.
Okay, and let's go back to the three-match ban. Steve Lydiard, stupid red for a three-game ban. Steve, you're right, and again, I just advise, take off your Fulham hat, watch it back. It's a red card from Tosin. It just is. I'm just going to call it what it is. Yeah. It's unfortunate. I don't think you can question it once you've watched it. It's pretty bad. Mm. And again, I love Tosin, but
you've got to learn.
He's got to learn from this. He can't be doing this.
Like I said, it reminds me of the Robinson one last season against
Chelsea. It's very similar. Very similar. Very similar, my friend. Okay. Listen, great thank you so much for joining me, Emilio. Final thoughts before we go.
Look, we're bouncing up. We're up the table. Four consecutive wins, clean sheets, strikers on form, players returning back from injury. You know, guess Tosin's got a three-match ban. We've got options, though. So I don't think that's going to be as badly missed as it could have been. But overall, you know, we've got nothing to complain about. We're on the up. And, you know, we've distanced ourselves from West Brom. These are the games we need to be winning. The 6 pointers, the teams around us. Distance yourself against those teams and, you know, carry on like this. And I think the Premier League is inching closer game by game. So, you know, come on, you Whites. Come
absolutely, you Whites. Emilio. And still to play is Parker Ball. We'll see if Fulham can stay within 2 points of Parker Ball.
Yeah.
But that's going to be fun, Emilio, coming up in December when Scott Parker returns, you know. I wish I could fly over for that one. I think that's going to be incredible. But honestly, we should all be happy.
Yeah.
We really should be happy with what's going on with Fulham. They took care of business today. Style points, whatever you think, you know, about the victory, it's about the 3 points. They deserve to win this match. What, do they deserve to win it 3-0? I don't know. But you know what? They did. Just like they beat Nottingham Forest. Nottingham Forest supporters can complain all they want. They lost the match. Same thing here. But I have a lot of respect for West Brom. They're going to be close to us. They just didn't have it today. This is about Fulham. Anyway, well, we're going to wrap this up. For my co-host, the Fulham Shadow, Emilio Zanella, I'm Russ Nolan. Thank you as always for watching and listening to Cottage Talk. It's the 90th minute and all to play for at the end of the match. All your mates are around. You've got your McDougat share boxes ready to go. Your mates already got booked for double dipping, and you steal the last nugget, snatching all 3 points. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. Are you in? I know I'm in. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee, and terms apply. See McDonald's.com.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.